Welcome back, Curious Minds. I'm your host, Katie O, and this is the Curious Katie O podcast. And today we're diving into a book that I feel like is a must read for anyone looking to grow their career or grow as a leader, whether that's in, you know, your workplace, your community, or your everyday life. The book is called How Leaders Learn by David Novak, and he isn't just an author. He's the former CEO of Yum Brands, so think KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, right? This book has a ton of real-life stories, practical advice, not only from him, but other leaders, and leadership lessons that you can start applying. He tells all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So what's really cool is that it's not just a book about successes. I think we often read those and go, yeah, everybody has the highlights and the good stuff. But what I like is David also talks about the mistakes. Yes, even the embarrassing ones, like the Clear Pepsi story that went horribly wrong. I don't know if anybody remembers Clear Pepsi, but he sure does. And so what I want to do is really just get into some of the highlights from the book, the five key things that I took away from it, and how you might be able to bring those insights into your life. It's definitely a book I would recommend reading. The first one is really around this idea of the power of recognition. So one of the most powerful takeaways from the book is the importance of recognizing people, efforts, and achievements. You know, David talks about recognizing people as one of the most effective tools as a leader that he can use. And he's got a pretty interesting story to back it up. Recognition can be public or private. It can be shared with a large group, or it can be one-on-one. So don't think of recognition as something that has to be, you know, put on a billboard or shared. Some people like recognition one-on-one, in a meeting or in a discussion that you're having. And the challenge that often happens in most companies is most leaders are running 100 miles an hour, and they forget to pause, stop, and recognize someone on their team or recognize one of their peers. How often do you just move on to the next thing before really taking a minute to stop and think about where you are, where your team is, or an activity that was done that you just really want to call out? So it has to be intentional. And when he was at Pepsi, David developed a campaign that was supposed to be a game changer. It was all set to launch when he realized too late that the campaign was fundamentally flawed. And so what he had to do, you know, the details don't matter as much as what happens next. So rather than burying the failure, he owned it, he learned from it, he moved forward. And more importantly, he started recognizing the efforts of his team, even when things didn't go as planned. You know, oftentimes recognition is this thing that is just successes, but sometimes the ability for a team to pivot, shift, or move requires recognition too, because it's not always easy. And here's a quote from his book that he says, "Recognition is the best way to lift spirits, fuel motivation, and get people to go the extra mile." So in our everyday lives, this can translate into acknowledging the small wins, whether it's thanking a colleague for their hard work or simply telling a friend that you appreciate them. I always laugh. My husband and I have been married almost 25 years, and to this day, we say thank you to each other multiple times during the day. If somebody makes dinner, it's a thank you for making dinner. If somebody's doing the dishes, hey, thanks for doing the dishes. You know, we say thank you for doing a chore or putting something together, and it's really small to say thank you and recognize that effort that a spouse is putting in, but it's something that we've always done since we were first together, and we still do today. Because we recognize that oftentimes those little things go unnoticed. And if they go unnoticed for too long, people wouldn't feel appreciated for the little things that they do every day, or even some of the big things. You know, recognition doesn't just build better teams, it builds better relationships. And I'd encourage you to think about recognizing something, large or small, important or everyday, and see what that does to strengthen your relationships. The next big focus is around the importance of asking questions. You know, this is one of my favorite topics because it's all about curiosity. And David emphasizes the importance of asking questions, not just to get information, but to show that you genuinely care about what others think. And I'm known as someone who asks a lot of questions, especially on sales calls or in our house. My husband will jokingly call me the Riddler sometimes because of the questions I ask. And for me, it's not something that's fake or phony. I'm like genuinely curious about business or their career or what people are doing or things that they're excited about. And, you know, if I get the coveted awkward pause from someone, especially on a sales call, then I know my question hasn't been asked or maybe even thought about before and could potentially shift some of their thinking. And the only way that happens is by thinking, listening, and then asking questions. And in the book, David shares a story about how early in his career, he thought leaders needed to have all the answers. But he quickly learned that the real magic happens when leaders ask the right questions. It's about engaging people, making them feel valued, and sparking their creativity. If you're the smartest person in the room with 100% of the answers, let me tell you something, you are in the wrong room. And so what you want to have is people around you that have thought through the idea, that are experts, that are interested in a topic. But maybe your background, experience, or lens lets you ask a question that they haven't thought about before. So one of my favorite lines from the book, he says, "The best leaders don't have all the answers, they have the best questions." And the higher up you get, I think that's a great thing to think about in a career. It's more about asking and less about telling. So in your everyday life, think about how you might apply this, whether you're leading a project at work or just trying to help a friend through a tough time. You know, asking thoughtful questions can open up new perspectives or lead to better solutions. When my son comes to me at 10 with 10-year-old topics, I'm more inclined to ask than tell. When he talks about, you know, outgrowing something like his old daycare and missing his friends, instead of diving into a talk about making new friends and you can have your old friends over to hang out, you know, I asked him what he missed. And it was interesting because the conversation went somewhere I hadn't thought of. What he liked about daycare and what he didn't like, you know, really came out in that discussion because I asked him what he missed. And so it was about him getting to think about it, not telling him what to think. And when he actually worked through that, there weren't a lot of things. He just missed seeing his friends. And so we could be more intentional about having his friends over or having him connect with his friends. It wasn't necessarily about daycare or missing daycare. For him, it was about the people connection with a couple of key kids. And so as a parent or a leader or friend, you know, it's often the questions we ask that make for the more interesting discussions and lead us in places we weren't necessarily thinking about going. The next topic is about learning from failure. So let's talk about it. Failure is often everyone's least favorite topic, but you know, David Novak flips the script on this, and he really believes that failure is actually one of the best ways to learn and grow as a leader. The thing about failure is you learn when you fail. The secret is that from successes, people often don't pause to learn there at all. And so failures have a way to smack you in the face and make you notice and change your thinking in a way that sometimes successes don't, which is kind of ironic. So remember the Pepsi story I mentioned earlier? You know, David talks about how a seemingly brilliant idea turned into a PR disaster. And he learned the hard way that assumptions can be dangerous and that testing and feedback for him was a crucial element that he missed. But more importantly, he used that failure as a stepping stone rather than a roadblock. One of the quotes from the book, he says, "Failure isn't fatal, it's feedback." And I think if we were to pivot that mentality, especially at some organizations where failure is viewed as like this horrible thing and this scarlet letter that you wear forever, it's not fatal, it's just feedback. You know, and anybody that does things like product development or marketing, which is a lot of my background, you're going to be wrong on a lot of things, sometimes to the good, sometimes to the bad. And all it's doing is telling you the right or wrong way to think about it next time, or a different approach to think about it next time. And this idea is so powerful because it takes the sting out of making mistakes. If you don't think of mistakes as failures, you think of them as feedback. The next time something doesn't go your way, instead of beating yourself up, you know, ask, what can I learn from this? How can this make me better? Think about your biggest mistake. All right, you got one? Did you actually think of one? Now, what's something you learned from that mistake? What's a fundamental experience that's forever changed you because of an error in judgment or something that didn't go right? If you could do anything long enough, let me let you know, you'll make mistakes and missteps. If you stick with something, there won't always be wins. There will be at-bats where you think you're doing great and then you strike out. And so your confidence in those wins sometimes starts to cloud your judgment. And so thinking about being humble to know that you're going to miss, but thinking about it as feedback and surrounding yourself with people that can try to minimize those errors. And if you get knocked down, knowing that getting back up and having that feedback of what that experience is like, the whole goal is to shift your thinking for the next time. Another key takeaway from the book is about the importance of collaboration. And David talks about how at Young Brands, he worked hard to create a culture where everyone's ideas were valued and collaboration was at the heart of everything he did. You know, as a leader, speaking last is your best way of creating collaboration on your team. When everyone else speaks first, they don't know what you think. Then they can share their actual thoughts. So if you think about this, the culture of collaboration as a leader often comes from you speaking the least or speaking last. And if you think back up to the top, you know, then instead of impressing your feelings on the group, which hinders collaboration, and asking questions, this can change the place of how your team collaborates and shares. And so he shares the story of a team meeting where the most junior members were encouraged to speak up and contribute ideas. And this wasn't about getting more ideas on the table. It was about building a culture where everyone feels invested in the success of the company. Did you ever have something handed down to you, something that you might have had a better way or an easier way, but no one bothered to ask you? You weren't really part of the discussion. You were just handed something and told to do it. So let me ask you this. How engaged were you in that plan that you had no say in? And it's not real that you could have a say in everything that happens in, but I bet, you know, there are times where if your leader asked you your thoughts before something was finalized or some of your ideas were incorporated into that thinking, even if you didn't create the final product, I'm guessing you were more likely to jump on board and advocate for the plan when others might be hesitant just by being included in the discussion. And one of the quotes from the book he has is, a leader's job is not to have all the ideas. It's to make sure all the ideas are heard and the best ones win. And that's another challenge too. A lot of times ideas in group settings and collaboration, the consensus idea gets implemented even if it's not the best idea. And so the leader's job is to get all of the ideas or as many of them out on the table as possible. But ultimately, that leader's job is to fix the one or find the one that's going to be the best one for a win. So in our own lives, we can foster collaboration by being open to others' ideas and perspectives, whether you're working on a group project or planning a family vacation. You know, remember that great ideas can come from anyone, and oftentimes the best outcomes happen when folks are able to work together. The last element is really around this role of self-reflection. So one of the most introspective elements of the book is an emphasis on having self-reflection as a leader. He believes that as an effective leader, you must understand yourself, strengths and weaknesses, and how you respond in different situations. There's all kinds of personality tests that you can do as a leader that show you this, like, hey, here's where I'm good, here's where I'm bad. And the other one is, when I'm stressed, this is how I react. Because oftentimes that is a very different reaction than when you're calm, cool, and collected. You know, this level of self-awareness doesn't just happen. It requires intentionality. And for new people in their careers, it only happens when you try and do lots of things. You really have to understand where you rock and where you suck. And we all have both. The only way you're going to understand what those puzzle pieces look like is by trying lots of things that you're interested in or passionate about, or things you might not think you're interested in that you end up becoming really good at. You know, David shares a story about a time when he realized that his fast-paced, results-driven approach was causing him to overlook so many things on his team. And he noticed that people were becoming burnt out and disengaged, and it was really a turning point for him. So instead of blaming others, he took a step back and reflected on his own behavior and leadership style. And this led to a significant change in how he interacted with his team and ultimately made him a better leader when he was able to really pull back and think about that. The key to leadership is about putting people around you that balance out your strengths. If you're organized but not a big creative thinker, put that person around you. If you're super innovative but you struggle with all the tasks and what it takes to get things from beginning to end, you need that person around you. But if you don't know where you're strong or weak, and this is what weak leaders do, you might put carbon copies of you all around you, missing and limiting the success of your team. I was joking one day when somebody had mentioned something about, you know, putting somebody like me around me on the team. And I said, we're intentional on our team about putting people around that think differently and have different experiences and backgrounds and bring different strengths to the team. And my quote to the new person on the team that I was talking to this about is, I said, I know what I think. I don't need four other people to think the exact way I think. We have that voice. I know what that is. What I need to know is what you think. And based on your experiences or your strengths, how you're going to view this challenge or this problem. And as David puts it in the book, he's got a great quote. If you don't take the time to reflect on your experiences, you're doomed to repeat the same mistakes. You know, in everyday life, self-reflection can be as simple as taking a few minutes at the end of the day to think about what went well and what didn't, or where you found energy, or where you were excited. So whether you're navigating a challenging work situation or just trying to improve a personal relationship, understanding your own role and how you can do better is really the key to growth. So before we wrap up, let's talk a little bit about the guy who wrote the book, David Novak, in his book, How Leaders Learn. He really wrote that to share the lessons he gathered in his career. And he's really passionate about helping others and his continued mission to grow and develop leaders. He actually has his own podcast called How Leaders Lead. And in his podcast and interviews that he does now, he talks with some of the most successful leaders in the world, diving into their stories and strategies. So it gets behind the press release and the, you know, high-level discussions. And so if you're interested in hearing more about it, I would recommend you check it out. So I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with a quote from David that I think sums up the essence of the book. And the quote is this: the most important thing you can do as a leader is keep learning. Because the moment you stop learning, you stop leading. And so I think that's a wrap on this book. I really found a lot of interesting insights and was inspired as I was reading it. He's got stories from all different leaders and really just put together his experience, his leadership, and tied it to a lot of other CEOs and top-level leaders. So what I would encourage you to do is go out there and ask questions, embrace your failures, i.e. feedback, and most importantly, lead in a way that's true to who you are. So if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, or leave a review. And until next time, stay curious.